I'm an addict named Sarah Joy Deeg.
Hey, Sarah.
Okay, so right off the top, I'm mad nervous. I just have to say it, get it out there. I know God's going to speak through me, but my ego is so big sometimes that, like, you know, I maybe don't want it to come out the way God wants it to come out. I want it to come out the way I want it to come out. I'm really honored to be doing this workshop, too, because H and I saved my life. And I truly wouldn't be here without it. The convention is so special to me. It's one of those events that I go to, and I think I have more reflection about the past year at the convention than I do on my anniversary. You know, I remember all the conventions I've gone to, this one in particular. I wasn't able to go last year, but this would have been my 12th year in a row. This convention is so special. And I was only asked about a week ago, and there was still enough time for me to freak out, so it is what it is. H and I saved my life, not in the traditional way that you would say H and I saved my life. I never actually received an H and I meeting in an institution, in a facility. My only time in a facility, it was very, very brief. I wound up in the emergency room, and when I woke up, I was on the psych ward, and I didn't have any of my stuff. So I went out to the front desk, and I was like, where are my keys? You know, where is my wallet? I was more concerned about the fact that I had cash in there, and I wasn't quite sure if I needed to go cop again. And they were adamant that I should stay, and I was adamant that I should not stay. And I took my stuff, and basically I was aggressive, and I got kicked out. So I was kicked out of my first institution at that point. And I remember that story. I like starting with that story today because the best part was I was out in front of this hospital, and I'm hailing a cab in a hospital gown, smoking a cigarette with sunglasses on, and it's nighttime. Okay, and a woman comes from the psych ward, comes out with a clipboard, and she says, you know, if you leave, you cannot come back. You are not allowed back here. You're disruptive. You know, we want you to stay, but if you leave, you can't come back. And I said to her some dangerous words. I said that, you know, I got this. And it's funny because I hear people say, I got this, when they share sometimes, and it just takes me right back to that moment where I'm hailing a cab at night in sunglasses with a hospital gown on with a cigarette, because I did not got this. Had I stayed there, maybe I would have had an H&I meeting. I was at outpatient treatment shortly after that, because that run didn't last very long. Obviously, I was heading in a direction we all know. They brought somebody in to talk to us, and I'll never forget it because it was just like an hour-long war story. And I didn't get much out of it. And that really kind of shaped, I think, what I think about before I go in to speak at an institution. You know, because an H&I meeting is bringing in, or meeting or presentation, is bringing in NA recovery to people that can't get out. You know, it's giving them the basics. It's telling them about the steps and traditions. And I didn't get that in the treatment facility that I was in for that brief period of time. When I got clean, and the other thing about this convention is it just gives me so much gratitude because I can't believe that this thing exists. You know, I was so alone, I was so broken, I was so desperate. And when I came in, I got a little bit of time, I cleaned up a little, and I thought everybody had that dream when they came in to be a drug counselor. I didn't realize that wasn't part of the package. That was an individual. There's a bunch of us that feel that way, but H&I really feels like a vocation to me. You know, and I asked around, and this hospitals and institutions thing really intrigued me. And at the time, my area had a really lagging subcommittee. We were in trouble. People weren't meeting regularly, and we only had one meeting in a facility that was actually being carried kind of hodgepodge. And this is another reason I'm super nervous about this is because I come from a family there's a real strict no bragging policy. And I've never actually talked about my H&I service publicly because I always hear my family being like, that's bragging. It's a very New England thing. I was asking around about H&I and I talked to a member in our area who had double-digit clean time, who told me that we had a lag in subcommittee, but that was fine because a lot of the other areas took care of a lot of the facilities, and that there was no need for us to have one, and that just didn't sit right with me, because it wasn't just about the fact that I felt that there were facilities that were not being served, but my area is not being served by not being allowed to do this kind of service. Because H&I service is the hit. I mean, there's no other service that I've experienced that gives me the hit like H&I. It's the front lines. It's where it all starts, you know? And I'm also super grateful when I walk out and the door clicks behind me. I'm not out front hailing that cab. You know? So at that point, I said, all right, I'm gonna just scope it out. And what was really cool is that I hadn't been clean that long. It was I think I had only had a year and a half, and I decided that I needed to look into this and see what we could do for our area. So I think the one of the reasons I really wanted to talk about this is because I think it's really important for people to know that you can start an H&I subcommittee, you can get things going, you can bring things back to life that maybe, were, because there's an ebb and flow sometimes with service in general, and the people who are there and the people who are not there, So at a year and a half, I started asking questions. I asked in my area, I wasn't getting support there. If you don't get support in your own area, go to another area and ask for support there. Talk to the people that have been doing this kind of service. H&I is great. There's a core bunch of us that have been doing this for decades, and they are a wealth of information. And I was terrified, but I reached out to DC area and Sandra H. And that woman guided me through helping my area get an H&I subcommittee going. She said, all right, you're going to panel, you're going to come with me. We're going down to the jail, and you're going to see how this is done. Because at this point, I was still being led by God. I didn't understand why I was being led in this direction, because I hadn't spent time in an institute that wasn't a part of my story, But I kept talking to God, and God was like, yeah, keep going, do this, And she said, come down to the jail with me and Richard Dean. Oh my God, the room was packed. There had to be like 100 people in there, and I was terrified. Probably just about as terrified as I am this morning, And they spoke, and Richard Dean spoke, and Sandra spoke, and I was so moved by the energy in the room and what these ladies were saying. And of course, she turned to me at the end, and I wasn't expecting this. She said, do you have anything to say? And I was like, nope. I do not. How can I add to this? But the best part of that experience was I had met her at Union Station, and she drove me back, and she didn't just, pop me out of the car. We talked for like an hour, and it was nighttime, and it was a weeknight. And she talked to me for an hour just about my story and about what I wanted to do. And I'll never forget it, because I said, I think I want to be a drug counselor. And she was like, there's no money in that. She says, don't do that. Do H&I and sponsor, and that'll fill you up, The other thing that was amazing about that conversation is part of my story is that I had terrible auditory hallucinations. And sometimes when I would share it in a meeting, people didn't quite understand if they hadn't walked in those shoes. So they would think it was, you know, the disease talking to me or the committee in my head. And I'm like, no, I really heard shit. And I was telling her that part of my story, and this was the first time that I ever had someone connect with me on that deep level. And she said, yeah, I had that too. You know, shooting, bam, I had that. And then I said, but what do you do about that today? And she said, the thing that sticks with me to this day, I think about it all the time. She says, I just don't listen for those voices anymore. And I was crying, you know. And we couldn't have been more different, but we were so alike. And that was that's a huge part of H&I for me. It's that there's no such thing as an H&I person. It's one of these realms of service where, you know, of course we all know the disease is blind, but I really feel that H&I people all come together and practice a lot of unity. And that's one of the reasons that H&I saved my life, is understanding the traditions better, getting that unity, you know. So I brought back the knowledge from Sandra to my area, and I dope fiended a whole bunch of people to start meeting. Since there aren't any H&I people, you can just talk to people individually and be like, you know, I think you'd be really great going in to talk to people at an institution. And let me tell you, there's no way you're going to feel bad walking out of there. I promise you that. You know, so I got like 15 people together. We didn't even have any facilities to go to. And I found this church that was willing to let us meet for really low rent up in the rafters in the choir loft. There were broken stained glass windows. Sometimes in the winter when we would meet, the wind would whistle through that stained glass window, but I was in heaven. You'd have to wear your jacket for the subcommittee meeting, but, you know, we made it happen, you know. And we met, and we started looking at the policy that existed that was outdated, and we started making our own policy, and we started making lists of facilities that we could reach out to. And then again, most importantly, we started creating liaisons to attend other H&I subcommittee meetings in the region. And we saw how it was done. Because I didn't know how to do it. I just went and saw. I didn't reinvent the wheel. I went and saw how it was done. And asked other areas if they had availability. Did they have institutions that we could maybe help out with? Had I not been doing that kind of service, had I not been widening my net, I don't think I would be here today, you know? Then we started actually getting all official. We had an agenda that we would cover in our subcommittee meetings, because otherwise we'd be talking about all kinds of stuff. And we wound up picking up a couple of institutions. I am so grateful for the work I did. The first meeting that I went into with a speaker, I was in the basement of this long-term care facility. And I went to the front. It was packed. There were probably 60 people in there, you know. I was the only woman, even though it was a co-ed facility, you know. There were fewer of us out there, unfortunately, women. I sat up front, and I sat down, and I was terrified. I was the only woman, I was the only white person, and I was younger than everybody by a couple of decades. And I was like, God, I don't know why you want me to be here. This is what I said in my head. And it's the same thing I said this morning when I walked up to the podium. I don't know why you want me to be here, but I know you do. So you better speak through me. And there was nothing else like that meeting. I will never forget that meeting till the day I die, you know, because it didn't matter. We all have the same feelings. We all know what it's like. That love is in the room. I'm really grateful for that meeting. Another meeting at that facility that I'm super grateful for that was just unbelievable. It was a hit unlike anything else. I went in with my best friend at the time. I went in with Charlie, and we did a New Year's Eve meeting in there. Oh, my God. There's no other place I'd rather be on New Year's Eve than in a facility. as a person bringing stuff in. Let me clarify that. As a person bringing meetings in. But they were so grateful to have us because it was a holiday. The energy in the room was just electric, you know. It's moments like those that have kept me here, you know. How H and I saved my life, I mean, first and foremost, is that if you are going into a facility to talk about steps and traditions, you better make sure you're working a program so you've got a message to give. You know, would I have worked as hard as I did on my steps if I didn't know that I had to go in and try to share what I was freely given? I don't know. I wouldn't want to try to do that again a different way. And traditions, oh my God, I mean, you can read that stuff in the book, but there is nothing that helped me out more about the traditions than doing service and H&I service. Just simple things like we had a guy in one of our facilities that was a worker at the facility, but he was also a member, and he felt that at the client meetings, he could raise his hand and share. That's when I learned about the sixth tradition, really, in the flesh. And it's those moments when you've got a story where it's not just reciting something out of the book. You've got a story to go along with, you know, something that you learned. And I said to him, hey, you know, I love you. I really am glad that you are part of this. And I know that the clients get so much out of this, but I know you also know about the sixth tradition. And that is something he understood, and we, you know, moved on from there, you know. If I had not been as involved with H&I, I just don't know. I just don't know. When I go into a facility, I say NA saved my life, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. But the truth is, that kind of service that I was doing on a regular basis, that's what kept me coming back. I mean, at that point in time, early on, I was looking for anything to use. Anything to use. I dropped drugs, but I could shop. Big one was dating. I was a serial dater. And if I didn't have a strong commitment like H&I on a Saturday night, or regional all day on a Saturday, driving to who knows where, you know, I could have wound up with even more terrible relationships than I already had. Maybe I would have slept with everybody in the room instead of just half. You know, I think about that all the time. This convention is so special to me. I was not able to be here last year. I was too sick. And in September, I had half my liver out. And I love that the topic of this convention is surgery of the spirit. Obviously, this has been my year of surgery. You know, I did a little piss step on my liver. It's looking good now. But I just can't believe that I'm so blessed to be given some solutions. I did not have to walk through that alone, just like I don't have to walk through this alone right now, and I didn't have to do H&I alone, which actually is a huge don't, by the way. Don't do H&I alone. Always bring someone in with you, please. Because it's about us. It's the we. It's not the I, you know. I can't, we can. And the we really got me through that surgery. The we really got me through after that surgery. And I hadn't been doing a whole lot of H&I, and because I've been sick, you know. But what was really, really cool is that God has been putting H&I back in my life as I'm getting better. So I have to remember not to be so willful, because there are still some times when I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm not dying of pain. I'm uncomfortable. Maybe I don't want to go out on a rainy Saturday night and take that meeting into the institution. Maybe I don't want to do that. But I keep getting dragged back in by my higher power. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. You know? And honestly, when I'm in a meeting, the pain lessens. You know, physical pain, emotional pain. Yeah, I'm good for that 60 minutes. But how much time do I have left? Anyone have a... I'm concerned that I'm going to start lying if I speak for a very long time. How much do I have? 10 minutes left.
You can lie for 10 minutes.
I can lie for 10 minutes, all right. No, I think... I just really wanted to do such a good job today because H&I means so much to me. You know, it's how we get our message out there. And yeah, I think I'm so grateful, and I think I'm going to pass and let our other speaker, Sebu, come on up. Thank you so much for having me this morning.